Hello, and welcome back to our latest episode of Pulse Check, the internal Cook County Health Podcast. I'm Dr. Eric Mikitis, CEO of Cook County Health, and I want to start out first by giving a couple of kudos for exciting things that have happened across the health system in the last month or so. We launched the fourth year of the Providence Scholarship in partnership with the Cook County Health Foundation. We're awarding $1.75 million in scholarships to aspiring healthcare professionals. We've expanded the eligibility this year to include behavioral health students as well. Applications are due by May 18th, and more information is available on our website. We also held a ribbon cutting for our opening of the new Bronzeville Health Center. The health center offers family medicine, psychiatry, and rehabilitation services. The new building is modern and bright and frees up more space at Providence so that we can use our hospital-based services at that campus more effectively. We've also started offering methadone services at our Austin Health Center and launched dental services at North Riverside Health Center, giving us more opportunities to meet the needs of our patients. This month, we also celebrated National Public Health Week with a variety of programming from CCDPH and the launch of the new Health Literacy Toolkit available at healthliteratecookcounty.org. That's healthliteratecookcounty.org, all one word. And when you're out and about, look for ads promoting our HIV services at the Core Center. We're advertising HIV testing and care on digital platforms, billboards, and transit, thanks to a grant from the Chicago Department of Public Health. So with all of those great things happening, I want to pivot now and welcome our guests for today, Sadia Carter, Superintendent of Cook County Hospital Police and our Security Lead, and Denise Goody, Director of Patient Relations. We're here to talk about safety and security in our healthcare facilities. And I want to make clear, our priority is always the safety and well-being of our staff. We will continue to take measures to ensure a safe environment for everyone. Violence against healthcare workers has been increasing recently, and I want to just put the stake in the ground. It is unacceptable, and it's imperative that we recognize the strain that it puts on our system and the dedicated professionals who've devoted their careers to caring for others. No one should have to fear for their safety while doing their job, and violence has no place in our facilities. We'll continue to work to foster a safe environment together. At a time when a lot of people are experiencing additional stress and anxiety, we want to be sure that we have appropriate measures in place to ensure the well-being of our staff, our patients, and our visitors. And we also want to recognize that we have to do everything in our power to prevent violence in the workplace by de-escalating situations before they turn violent. So, Superintendent Carter, Denise, is there anything you want to add before we kick off our conversation?
I'll just say thank you, Dr. Mikitis. I really appreciate this opportunity to be here and to speak on such an important topic. I want to start by saying how proud I am of the work being done across our health systems. That was very exciting to hear about all the updates. So thank you. Safety is not just about responding to incidents, though. As you said, it's about creating an environment where our staff, our patients, and our visitors feel protected and supported. Safety and security are essential to delivering our quality care. When people feel safe, they can focus on healing and helping. We've made big strides, but it's a shared mission. Everyone plays a key role in keeping our campuses secure, from the Storger system with Chief Joe Kathy Roberts to our Providence system and the ACHN clinics with the Conjunctural Director Ronald Robinson and Assistant Director Deanna Kemp. We've been moving forward at just light speed. So I also have to recognize the importance of the CCH team working to ensure we enhance all areas of safety. We work with codes and, you know, drills with the EOC team to work through enhancements and challenges on our technology systems with HIS and facilities management. This is truly a joint effort. So I'm very proud of the progress we've made together through the system. And my motto, as you know, Dr. Mikitis and team, one mission, safety. So thank you.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Mikitis and Superintendent. And thank you for allowing the platform for us to really talk about something that's scary and that we face throughout our days. So thank you for that opportunity. And I'm looking forward to coming together to share tips and thoughts about this topic.
Absolutely. Thank you, Denise. And thank you, Superintendent Carter. You spoke at a high level about culture change and what we're striving for. Can you share a little bit more of the specifics, some of the new security measures we've put in place and things that have been put in effect across CCH?
So absolutely, Dr. Mikitis and Denise, we work very closely with patient relations. So as we go through this process, I'm going to let you know that we're going to be talking about it later in our Let's Talk sessions. I'll tell you guys about that later. So I just want to make sure I get that plug in early to make sure that you get more detailed information about what I'm talking about this morning, directly working with our teams in our Let's Talk sessions. But we've implemented several new safety initiatives system-wide with a particular focus on areas that have traditionally experienced higher levels of tension. You know, that's been our focus, like our emergency departments. Firstly, we're integrating the use of a weapons detection system across our ED facilities. It's going to create a safer entry experience without compromising the dignity of our staff, our patients, and our visitors. This system is currently scheduled to be launched tomorrow, Thursday, April 17th. We are very excited about that. We've also increased the number of panic buttons via an enhanced arrest alarm system called Lynx. I know traditionally people are used to dispatching a button and team members responding, but this system is currently being placed at strategic locations to ensure that our staff can quickly reach help when needed. The system has already been placed in over 400 computers system-wide. Some of our key benefits from using the Lynx system is this type of arrest alarm system is that it leads way to rapid response activation. And what is that? Staff can discreetly trigger sudden alarms via various computer keyboard strikes. It ensures immediate alerts without escalating the situation. So it's a private way of making sure we get some help to you and you notify the people around you and in your immediate area that you need help. It also gives us real-time location tracking. What is that? So the system provides precise location data for security personnel and our surrounding team members that enables us to have swift, targeted responses. So meaning that if Lynx is on your computer system, it notifies the people around you and it notifies security and it notifies your management team lead. So we're excited about that system, Dr. Mikaitis. The Lynx system is also going to be incorporated into seamless integration, meaning that we're going to be working with other hospital systems like access control, our video surveillance system, nurse call systems, and it's going to facilitate our emergency response just that much quicker. Lastly, that system provides scalability and flexibility. So Lynx is adaptable to various hospital settings, meaning that from the emergency departments to outpatient clinics to supporting diverse emergency scenarios, whatever that may be. So we're excited about that. So can I add some more, a few things, Dr. Mikaitis? So we've also enhanced security staffing levels and training, especially at our ACHN clinics, where some of our most vulnerable populations receive care. Additionally, we're in the process of enhancing all of our non-lethal provisions while ensuring our team stays completely transparent with body-worn cameras. So the use of the cameras not only significantly enhances safety, accountability, and trust, but it directly contributes to a more secure and supportive environment for everyone. So, and speaking of accountability, the Helix routing system has been implemented in all the CCH facilities. So every clinic, every one of our hospitals, all of our systems, our satellite locations have this system. And what is the system? The system is a routing system. So it means it gives us the ability to customize workflow for security team through routing templates, meaning that if you have ED, if you have a private office area, and it's a time that you have more peak patients, more team members, that's when we can make sure that our routing is taking place. And that system allows us to check and make sure that our security team is exactly where they need to be. So it tells us exactly where all our team members are. So I'm just proud to say that we're enhancing technology integration across all of our sites, as you see. My long-term plan is going to be creating an off-site command control center, and this will allow our real-time monitoring to truly coordinate responses across all our CCH locations. These changes are about being proactive and not reactive. It's about building a safety net that's both visible and responsive. So thank you, Dr. Mikaitis, for your support and also our team members, our executive team, for helping us path this way. So thank you.
Amazing work. That's really been a ton of work done. That's just a very short amount of time since the last few incidents. So kudos to you and your team. That's really, really incredible. I think another point that dovetails with those investments that your team has put in place is staff training. And we know that, you know, we often interact with people on some of their worst days. They're sick, they're in pain, they're scared, they're having trouble navigating the system. There's a lot of frustration that comes with coming to the hospital. It's not always easy to deal with. So it's important for us to remember that each person presents a new opportunity for us to try to make a difference. And while we can't prevent every single incident of violence by leveraging those lessons of trauma-informed care and treating each and every person with respect, empathy, empathizing with them in the situation, I think we can improve their experience and lessen the likelihood that an interaction may take a turn for the worst. So Denise, could you tell us a little bit more about your role in all of this and how you've approached your work with patients, especially those who are probably, you know, a little upset or frustrated?
Absolutely. So I'm really proud to represent patient relations in our department as advocates. We see patients when they're at their absolute worst and they're experiencing some type of concern, a problem, and they just need some extra support. So our team is really here to lend a listening ear, which we know is really key in a lot of these tough moments. We allow the patient to share, and then we partner with our leaders here in the hospital to get resolution. What can we do to make it better? What can we do to fix it? But I think the key is really creating a welcoming space that our patients feel heard and listened.
Absolutely. And across the organization, staff is being offered training on trauma-informed care and de-escalation. Denise, can you share a little bit more about de-escalation? What are some techniques that staff can use to really try to bring the temperature down?
Yeah, absolutely, Dr. Mikaitis. I think that's really key. It's really important to stay calm, which is not always easy in those tough situations. Ensure that welcoming space, open body language, nonverbals are really important. Eye contact, smiling when it's appropriate, leaning in, taking time to actively listening. Multitasking, we know we do a lot of that in healthcare, but it's really important when a patient is sharing that you just pause and that you really focus on what they're sharing. That is key to know that they have your undivided attention. Emotional intelligence really helps a lot. Self-management piece, that is key. It's essential in managing our emotions and not taking it personal and really staying focused and trying to help our patients or their loved ones in these tough moments.
Absolutely. Yeah, those are all very helpful tips. Thank you. Superintendent Carter, how can staff partner with security to create a safe workplace and an environment of care?
So that's a great question. I'd say the biggest thing that we really need support in is just making sure that we have open lines of communication. If something doesn't feel right, speak up. Officers are here to help you. We'd rather check something out and find out if it's nothing than miss an opportunity to intervene early. We're also encouraging our staff to attend the trauma-informed care de-escalation training that Denise just talked about. When clinical teams and security work together with a shared understanding, you know, a shared understanding of processes, it calms down the situation very much quickly. It makes a huge difference. And please get to know your officers at your locations. When there's mutual trust and familiarity, we can all move faster, more effectively when things get really tense. And see something, say something. That's a catchy line that you hear all the time. And we see a lot of our policy pieces, but we really need to, if you see something, please say something. Report suspicious behavior immediately. It's early, it's always better. Don't bash anyone in you don't recognize. Politely direct them to the proper entrance. And if they do follow you or piggyback in on an elevator or in an area, just call security. Just give us as much of a description as possible. Let us make sure that we can roll the cameras back and follow and see where that person has gone. To really know your exits, the code procedures, and who to contact in an emergency. The ID card, the OMC, the Office of Emergency Management cards that everybody wears on their IDs, that has a wealth of information. Just making sure that our team members are aware of what that is and the numbers that go along and correlates with it. Leaders making sure they give their staff members time to attend training during work hours makes them so much more effective. If all of our team members have the same similar training and have that support system in place, it makes it so much of a big difference when we're all trying to work together to calm a situation down. I know we went over a lot of information, but please know that we have incorporated a direct approach to working with CCH staff. That's with simply by attending our monthly in-person Let's Talk sessions. This was CCHPD security. We always have other members of our team. Denise, who's on now from Patient Relations, is on. Dr. Brown is on from an EOC team. Pat Taylor is on. So we have a myriad of team members that are on to actually there directly for you to answer questions, to give you brief training sessions and things like that. So these sessions are in person at Provident and Stroger every single month. And also we do a quarterly meeting via Teams, and we always have at least 100 team members on. So please make sure you guys take the time. The sessions go over training materials. We go over codes. We go over incidents. So if something didn't happen within the system, you have direct questions, you have the opportunity to have the team members right there to talk to you about it. So creating a safe environment, Dr. Mikaitis and Denise and team, is truly a partnership, as you guys know, between our clinical teams, our security teams, administration, and the community we serve every day. I want to ensure, know that we are listening to everyone and know that we see you, we hear you, and we're committed to protecting the vital work you do every single day. So just simply saying, together for safety, together for care, and thank you.
Well said, Superintendent Carter, and lots of great information from your input too. So thank you both. And thank you as well for joining us today and sharing all this great information. I'm going to give each of you a last word. What do you want staff to take away from this conversation? Denise, we'll start with you.
It's really important to always remain professional, courteous, and respectful. Remembering that we're always on stage, it helps to avoid confrontation and escalating behaviors. Arguing, we know that only makes things worse. So our goal is really to de-escalate. Sometimes you have to set boundaries. Asking for help is always okay. And most importantly, prioritizing your safety. In these tough moments, you have to ensure that you are safe. So know that you're not alone in this. Know that you can always ask for help. Your manager, your supervisor, your leaders, Dr. Rakitis, Superintendent Carter, Chief Roberts, they're amazing. They're always willing to help. And if you're struggling, reach out, because I know disruptive behavior, violence of any sort is not tolerated. And it also makes us feel sad and can sometimes make us feel a bit concerned about coming to work. So make sure that you reach out, talk to somebody, and know that you have a supportive team around you who's willing to help.
Absolutely. Great advice. Superintendent Carter, last word.
Last words, officers are not just security. They are part of the care team. So just please know that. They know the names and the faces of our staff and many of our patients, especially our regular patients. That human connection is vital. So our team remains committed to creating a culture of safety that's both compassionate and firm. So please make sure you guys work with us. Chief Roberts, Director Ronald Robinson, and myself are always available. My phone number is in our email system. So please make sure you reach out if you need something specific. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys at the Let's Talk sessions. So I'll see you soon.
Wonderful. Thank you again to both of you for joining us. And thanks to all of our listeners for participating. Look for our next episode coming in May. This was Pulse Check, Cook County Health's internal podcast. Thanks again for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.